I feel like when you get on mic and you do this thing and you get a podcast, you have a camera going, all this stuff, you feel like an actor, mm-hmm. which makes you feel like you're a narcissist, you know? You're like, man, I don't want to be that, you know what I mean?
Yep.
But I'll ask people and they're like, no, you're not. I'm like, okay, thank you. But it's like I constantly have to check myself, I guess.
Yeah, no.
Because I don't want to be...
Yeah.
Because the point, obviously, is not that, so...
It's very much like politics.
And that's where I... So you... Let me intro and we'll go.
Sounds good.
What's up, everybody? This is the Toasty Podcast. My name is Sky, and we talk about politics, society, and culture here. And if you're into that, well, let's get toasty. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Toasty Podcast. If you're looking for the number one politics, society, and culture podcast, you've come to the right place. Sky created the Toasty brand to empower independent thinkers such as himself to stand up for what they believe in. We call that staying toasty. If you support our work, please subscribe and tell others about our show. Today I have a special guest. It is Taylor Mondick.
Mondick.
Yes. He is running for representative of District 95.
Yep, that's it.
And that's Fort Worth. So that's our home grounds right here. Yep, that's why I wanted to have him on, you know. But if you want to get us started, you know, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, and then we'll just talk about whatever.
Sounds good. Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. And I'm running for State House District 95, and that's... all of Tarrant County, basically. We've got downtown Fort Worth, Forest Hill, Everman, a little bit of Arlington. It's a massive district. But how I got to this point, I mean, who knows, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. I grew up in, well, Dallas-Fort Worth area. We were a little transient, moved around Houston, then back to Dallas, ended up in Flower Mound. And there's an actual Flower Mound there. That is why we have that name.
Really, that exists?
Oh yeah,
I never knew that. makes sense, but
it exists. It's gated. Apparently, some like ancient Indian burial site. I know.
Wow.
That's what my parents told me.
Yeah.
Who knows?
It might be true. I mean,
could be. And let's see. What did I do after that? I moved to Hawaii, and I was in Hawaii for several years.
Yeah.
And then I moved to Western Australia and was there for a little over a year, and settled back here in Fort Worth. And I love it. I love Fort Worth. Love it.
Yeah, how long have you been here now in Fort Worth again?
Over 10 years, pushing almost 12, actually.
Not even counting your childhood, like this is now.
Yeah, but you know what's so interesting is when I was growing up, I had this weird thing against Fort Worth. There was like not a lot here, honestly, and we would always be like, ugh, Fort Worth, and because Dallas was it, you know? And now it is the exact opposite.
Oh, dude.
I mean, you can't pay me to go to Dallas.
Dude, no one likes Dallas, man. It's pretentious for the most part.
There's some good people there.
Like you can't say everyone in LA is pretentious.
Right.
LA is pretentious. See what I'm saying? So it's the same idea, not even close to the extreme of LA, but it's getting up there. And you know, there's a reason people haven't chosen Dallas to be the spot, if you will, for mm-hmm. all the comedy, the celebrities, the everything. Guess where that's at? That's in Austin. Why? Because it's not Dallas. It's totally different.
Mm-hmm.
So Austin's the new San Francisco. And that's, you know, Dallas is not going to be it, which sucks.
Yeah. You
know? Fort Worth has the chance, though, to do something similar.
It does. You know, and, you know, everyone comes to Fort Worth. Like, you walk around downtown and you'll run into people, oh, I love Fort Worth. It's you know, the streets are safe. It's walkable. It's clean. Yeah. It's all these things. And
wasn't Harrison Ford here?
Yeah,
recently
he was filming, wasn't he? He had a movie here,
and it wasn't Yellowstone, right?
No,
because he's not in Yellowstone. But I saw he was at some restaurant. I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah,
what? I wasn't there.
We get celebrities
him, but,
here. I mean, Fort Worth's a hidden little gem, you know?
Yeah. What? Well, then, how did you? So you went. Well, we were talking like the other day, and you went to school for athletics.
Yeah, so
right?
I got a scholarship. Yeah, for cheerleading, actually.
So. Really?
Yeah.
Were you the guy that just throws up? Okay, all right.
I mean, do I look like that guy?
No, you don't. I just wanted to ask. You know, I've known some people that do cheerleading, you know, guys, girls, everything.
Yeah,
so the competitions
are
serious.
The stunting is amazing. And I was a flipper. I can tumble.
Oh, yeah. A flipper.
Yeah.
I call that.
For all the people out there, they're like, what's a tumbler? So, I did flips from a very early age. And
yeah.
when I wanted to leave Texas and go experience college somewhere else, I applied at Hawaii Pacific University, and they had at the time the number one undefeated like competitive cheer program. If you went to Hawaii Pacific, you were it, man.
And wow.
Yeah. So okay. I remember my parents helping me make my tryout video and all this stuff. And they came back and said, okay, we'll give you 80% scholarship.
You have to try out to be at the school like
oh,
that.
Oh God. Huh? Yeah. And I was, it's Hawaii. So my parents were like, no, if it's not a full ride, you can't go.
80% is a lot, though.
It's a lot. And my argument back then was, you know, are you crazy? Like,
are you crazy? This is 80%.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah.
But they ended up coming back and giving me 100%. So,
oh.
Yeah.
Is that why your parents did that? Were they negotiating with the school?
Well, it was basically me negotiating with the school, emailing the coach and saying, hey, I'm sorry,
parents can't come.
So.
Wow. Mm-hmm. It's so interesting how that works, right? At the drop of a hat, they're like, all right, go ahead and do 100, you know?
I know. I'm like, you could have done that the first time.
Where's the money coming from here? Yeah, anyway. Man, but my point in asking that was like, I just don't understand where politics came in. You know, it wasn't like something that you're like, I'm destined to do this. It was like, was it because you work here? Was it because you moved here and you're seeing things?
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely a part of it.
Yeah.
But I think for me, a couple of years ago, you know, I really started seeing that I didn't agree, nor did I like the path that our country was on. And never was into politics, you know, ever. But I started noticing things, whether it be from the media or, you know, local laws or rules being passed, state laws. And we've seen that clearly, that the American people are being undermined, and that the people in power don't necessarily have Americans' best interests at heart. And I noticed that, and then I started looking here in my own backyard. Who's my legislator? Who's my lawmaker? Who are we voting for consistently? And then when I find out that my opponent has been in office for 10 years, and I'm seeing a steady rise in crime, I'm seeing, you know, a lack of real effort being put into our community, that's when I was like, okay, something's got to be done. Now, I did not want to run. I mean, it's terrifying, you know? I mean, this is
like the first step for you, right?
Yeah.
This is the first one.
This is the first one. Yeah, and I asked people that I respected that I thought could do the job, and no one was going to do it. So I stepped up and was like, you know what? I mean, why not?
Do you have to get like a campaign and all that for this?
Oh yeah.
Like, do you have to do the normal thing? Do you have like people and all that? Or
yeah. So that, I mean,
I figured when you're first starting out, it's like,
well,
it's all you, man.
It was. I mean, it basically was all me.
Okay.
For the first couple of months.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I started talking to people and realizing that there was a lot of people here that actually would like to see some change. And they connect you with other people. And so, yeah, I've got a campaign consultant. I've got
cool.
Two of those. Yeah, they're really great. I've got an advertising team that's really hitting social media, things like that. I've got people setting up volunteers for block walking and all of those things. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I don't have like a Ted Cruz version campaign.
No, that's not what I expect.
This is
I don't
like a very
it,
like grassroots.
Well, who has run against her in the last 10 years? Do you know?
Yeah. So we've had about two candidates in the past 2 years.
Okay.
Stephen West and Albert McDaniel, I believe. And, you know, I'll tell you this too. One of the big reasons why we don't get a lot of candidates is is the party situation, the Democrats and the Republicans, right? You know, you each have control over a district, and we know what goes down in Austin, and, you know, the Democrats have control of District 95, and that's how it's always been. And so Republicans don't want to run. Now, my argument to that is, do we see the same happening on the other side? No, we don't. It doesn't.
They're trying to go everywhere they can.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter for them. And yet we continue to complain. So my thing is, okay, is someone going to do something, or are we just going to
bunch of rhinos out here, dude?
We're just going to complain. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like, you could probably sweep that over the country and say, that's probably what's happening. You know, I talked about this, you know, the other day with you, like, yeah, we've been asleep at the wheel for the most part, as far as Republicans go. Anyone, actually, you know what? Anyone except for the left.
Yeah. No, they've been on it for sure.
They've been on it. You know, so like you've got Libertarians, Republicans, you know, everyone in that sphere, you know, conservatives. We're just kind of chill.
Yeah. I mean, we've been on the sidelines. We've been complacent.
I think it's tall. Yeah, the tolerance thing is like,
well, and you know,
it's to an extreme now.
I think that we've we've had it very good in America.
Yeah.
You know, compared to most countries, we've had it very good. And I remember talking to my parents really early on when, you know, COVID happened, and they kept saying, you know, oh, someone's going to come in and fix all this, you know, fix all this. And I'm like, y'all, I don't think so. I think it's going to have to get really bad for the American people to wake up and get out of their bubbles and really start to demand change.
Oh, well, so from their point of view, you know, what they've seen is like a pendulum swing. So it's usually you have the Democrat come in and do some things, and then someone comes in, of course, Republican, and because everyone hates the Democrat at that point, and they vote Republican, and then they change some things or they fix it or whatever.
Yeah.
I say fix it.
Right.
They do a few things to maybe walk it back and don't really do much else.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's different now.
Yeah.
Either A, because we're going further each way every time.
Yeah.
Or, you know, B, just because Republicans have done consistently not that much, and Democrats are doing consistently more. So that may be something else, you know.
Yeah,
the whole spectrum is shifting, right?
That's a good point.
And that's why, you know, the generation before us, like my parents even, are just like, oh, someone will come in, you know, and fix all this. And you're like, I don't see it.
Yeah.
You know, and I, you know, it's since I've been born, it's been steadily just worse and worse. So,
and from Republicans and Democrats both, you know, and that's the real big problem.
Yeah.
This two-party thing that we got going on, It could be our demise, you know?
Oh, it could be, because it's like behind closed doors. What is it? It's one party that does whatever they want.
100%.
So, yeah, man, I agree with that for sure. Wow. Well, yeah, so what do you do besides all this then?
Yeah, so I own a gym. And
for real?
Yeah.
Whoa, what?
Okay, now here's the deal, though. It's not your typical gym.
Okay.
Like, you can come to my gym if you want to learn how to do backflips.
Oh, okay, so it's a cheer gym, essentially?
Yeah, we're a cheer gym. We're a rival cheer.
And gymnastics?
Yeah, we do a lot of tumbling, a lot of recreational tumbling. So kids come in, I want to learn how to do a backflip. Well, okay, we'll teach you a backflip, you know?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
And that's like, that's something you do. That's your business.
That's my business, yeah.
Wow.
I opened it in 2000 and, gosh, what are we in, 2022 right now? I opened it in, 10 years ago, so 2012. Is that right?
Holy crap, dude. Yeah. I was just now graduating high school.
Oh, were you really? Oh, my word.
That's crazy, man.
I was 23, yeah.
Yeah, dude. Wow, that's young too, though, to start a gym. That's freaking awesome, honestly.
It was a slow and steady climb, that's for sure.
I can only imagine, dude.
Yeah, you know, I started...
Especially a niche like that.
Oh, yeah.
Seems like, anyway.
Well, in here, specifically, we have such a saturated market. I mean...
Is it?
If you're not in the industry, you wouldn't know, but there are hundreds of gyms in DFW. Hundreds. And, you know, some that have been here for 30 years that are like the top dogs.
Oh.
So opening up in DFW in a very saturated market was hard.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I didn't even get my own building, you know, for a while. I was renting other people's buildings and after hours, you know, for a couple hours here and there.
Right.
And then we just, you know, slowly started to grow.
That's wild. Yeah. One of my friends growing up, she did cheer and she went to TVCC.
Yeah.
They were like super into it, you know?
Good.
They went to competitions in Florida and all that crap.
Oh, yeah.
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 That's the only thing I really know about it, because I've seen some of those competitions.
Mm-hmm.
It's intense.
Very intense.
You know, people will be like, oh, cheer's not a sport or whatever they say.
God,
you know, like, yeah, maybe on your high school freaking sideline where they're not doing anything.
Yeah, bingo.
But like when they're out here, I don't even consider it. What was it? What is it actually? Is it called cheer or is it called something else?
Yeah. And that's been like a big debate in the
industry.
Because
like, let's call it something different.
Right.
Because it's not cheer, is it?
They
Who are you cheering on?
Nobody.
No one. Yourself. You are the competition. Like, you're the.
I remember there was like this huge like debate in the industry about like, we need to change it. But the names people were coming up with were so ridiculous. It was like dance acro. I'm like, no one's really dancing.
Yeah, you can't call that.
So it's going to be called cheer for, you know, a while. And that the Netflix show cheer.
Yeah.
That I think has helped open
people's
eyes.
That's apparently huge. It's apparently huge. And people are watching it and they're like, oh my gosh, this is like what it's really like. You know?
Yeah.
They make it, I'll say this. I feel like a lot of parents are just like any other sport. They make it too intense sometimes, but.
Oh gosh. I have stories, man.
Really? Like,
oh, yeah.
So you're the gym. Yeah, you're the freaking, you're
gym,
a coach.
I'm a gym owner, yeah.
Yeah, so. You like, see all this stuff, dude.
Ooh, yeah.
Do you ever have to like take a parent aside and talk to them, or do you just leave that up to them? Like, do you try to stay out, or are you like this, you're going to ruin your child's life by hurting them at some point?
100%.
Really?
I've had this conversation. I've had parents like bust through the doors in the middle of a practice when I've got, you know, a team's on the floor and demand answers on why we moved Susie from the front to the back in the middle of a practice.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I mean, I have seen it. I've seen it all. You want to hear a really crazy story?
Well, yeah.
Okay. So
who's going to say no to that? That's always one of those things.
This,
you know?
This was probably the craziest one.
But you want to get some rye? Do you want some whiskey?
Oh yeah. That okay. Right. Good. Yeah. So you want me to keep going?
You can. Yeah.
Okay. So I'll call her Susie. We had Susie on one of our teams, and
you want ice or do you care?
No. Okay. Ice. Cool. Neat.
All right.
And Susie, we thought was going to be super great. Well, she had an attitude, a major, major attitude. And Susie also was like 12 feet tall on a team.
Wait, what?
Well, not really.
Okay, your exaggeration.
For like an 11-year-old, she was like pushing 6 feet. So, okay.
11-year-old.
She like was heads above everybody else. Anyways, long story short, Susie's attitude kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And so we ended up kicking her off the team. So, you know, we had the hard conversation with the parents. This just isn't a right fit, blah, blah, blah. Well, the parents went nuts. They ended up taking our uniform, lighting it on fire, filming it to this crazy music, posting it all over social media, uploading it to YouTube, all of these things. I mean, it was terrifying. They did that. They, her dad, actually, my LLC, the name, you have to renew it after a certain amount of years. And this mm-hmm. was very early on when I opened my business, had no idea.
Right.
Well, he bought it after it had expired and I did not know. So he then owned the name of my business at the time.
Like held your business name for ransom, bro?
Exactly. So then when you would go to our website and type in...
That's like the .com craze.
Oh, yeah.
They would do that, you know?
That's exactly
what he did. Buy a domain name and then, yeah.
And so anytime someone would go to our website, they were taken to another website and it was this big guy with a beer belly and it had our gym name, Rival Cheer, like across his belly. I mean, it was the craziest thing I've ever experienced.
That's an insane troll, dude. That's so funny.
It was very. I learned
obviously
a lot.
That's defamation, you know. And if you really wanted to go crazy, you could be like, "Oh yeah, let's sue him for defamation." But I get why you wouldn't.
Oh
but
yeah,
did it actually hurt your reputation? I guess, or did everyone still know?
Yeah, no, not really. I mean, he did that's the good. Classic like, "Let's leave 500,000 terrible reviews," sure. You know, and this and that. But I mean, at that point, when someone is that nuts, you just are kind of like, okay, you can't be saved.
Yeah. Can't be saved. Yeah. Well, so yeah, but. Like, what did you do to get your name back?
I ended up having to change it. So,
oh,
I mean, it was
my
that.
Gosh,
it
dude,
was that
what?
Crazy. Yeah, I know. I
what?
Know. I know.
No way.
So here's the deal. This was early on in
dude,
my business.
That, you let them win. Dude.
I had no money. I had no money.
Man.
And so,
no, I get it. I
yeah,
get it.
I mean, it There's was. No way you could have, yeah. There was no way at that point. I'm like, you know, I'm 20 something years old. I'm like, oh God. And you know, I fought it as much as I could, and I ended up just. It's still the same name. We're like a DBA, you know, something.
Easy. Yeah. Easy.
So, but yeah,
no one really, honestly, no one knows the LLC usually, unless you actually do use it as your business name.
Yeah.
Like on a door. Or
so
whatever.
We're like under a different brand now.
Yep.
Doing, yeah. Yeah. It's, but,
dang man,
learned my lesson there. You know?
Holy crap.
I know. We haven't had any crazy.
The renewal
like
dates. Hasn't it changed? So like I have an LLC for the mm-hmm. podcast. It's like, I thought it was like 10 years, but maybe it's different depending on what kind you set up.
I guess. I think it has to do with like your setup.
Because
like
I don't have any members or anything. I guess that makes sense. I don't know. Whatever.
I don't know. I just know that
maybe it's not 10 years.
I've learned my lesson. And
yeah, for all those listeners out there, if you have an LLC, man, keep track of that.
Yeah,
crap.
Just keep your in your franchise tax. Make sure you file your franchise
tax. Oh, yes.
Lord have mercy.
Yes. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. You got to do that.
It's,
see, just
like
another
once a
example
year.
Of government. Making so many rules to keep up with that
right.
It's almost impossible to follow.
Well, it's just like if you get, like if you end up in, you know, hold on. First of all, cheers. Nice. Just some Blackland rye.
Oh, that's good. Have you had their like maple pecan?
Oh my gosh. They're like butter pecan or whatever it is.
Okay, so I didn't know that was like a dessert one or you use it to cook. A lot
no,
of people
no, no.
do.
People will, well, it's a good mixer, first of all.
Okay.
But second of all, so I had the Blackland guy on my show. If you want to go back and
really?
Watch it at some point.
That's awesome.
He went through the whole thing. But from what I know, from what he said, people do drink it by itself sometimes. It is definitely dessert kind of oriented.
Yeah.
He's like, but you can make an awesome old fashioned. if you do that, and then like a black cherry rum or something like that. I don't know. It's weird. It's not a regular old fashioned. It's like, but it makes it it's pretty sweet, but it's like a specialty old fashioned.
That sounds good. I brought some to like this whiskey club, not knowing, and I set it down on this table, and this woman's like, "Oh, I use that for my desserts."
Yeah,
and
I was like, "Oh, to actually cook with it."
Yeah, yeah.
That was a bad mistake for the whiskey club, huh?
Yeah, people are bringing bottles. I was like, I've never been to one.
Yeah, I wouldn't have. Wow, man. Well, that is what it is. I mean, Blackland's supposed to be, you know. It's usually like high class ish.
Are they here in Texas? They're here in Texas.
Oh yeah,
right?
They're actually in Fort Worth. Yeah.
Well, Blackland Distillery, behind Target, right?
Yes. Yeah, they are in that like industrial area.
Yeah.
They are.
I've been wanting to check them out,
dude. When you go in, it's so interesting. You're going in and you're not thinking it's going to be like it is, but it is super freaking dark. You know, they make it like it's like a cocktail lounge essentially. Yeah. You know, they have pretty good cocktails there. I'll say that. But here's the thing, like the bottles are cheap. Man, that bottle was $35. It's not like it's normal price. It's not what you're thinking, like, oh, this is nice. It's going to be $80. Nah.
Good to know.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's good.
Whatever. That's the story of Blackland, I guess. Because I knew the rep there, and he came on my show and showed me some things and told us all about how alcohol is made or whatever, you know.
Mm. Can you make alcohol out of anything?
You essentially start with the same thing all the time. So, yes, you can. Wow. Well, yeah, you can, yes. But most distilleries start with just corn. So.
Yeah, because there is over by where I live, there was a vodka like distillery, and they used to make it out of black-eyed peas.
Blackland. So the idea was, black-eyed pea. What is it called? I think it's just called black-eyed pea.
Yeah, or black eye or something like that.
That vodka is like out of where, Austin? There's one in Texas that's like,
yeah.
But Blackland, the idea was they got the whatever they were growing to ferment. It was from the black soil of Texas, which the black soil of Texas was around Fort Worth and then a little bit south, and like that was the black soil area. So Blackland Distillery was
go
where
Fort
that came
Worth,
from.
Man.
Anyway, yeah, dude. Whatever, man. Tangents for sure, dude.
I know.
But what do you do like free time? Is that which as a political candidate, you know, especially one running for just like. A district, is it like, or do you have stuff going on every day trying to campaign, or is it kind of like not as crazy as like a governor position, you know what I'm saying?
Every single day. I mean, every day. So free time, I don't really have that right now.
Yeah.
And you know, I shouldn't. You know, I'm fighting for a district here. Like I really am. And so for me, I don't want to look back and be like, God, if I would have just, you know, not done this that day.
Yeah,
totally what I'll do.
No, I get it.
So, you know, it is every day, and it's just trying to meet as many people as you can, trying to get connected to as many people as you can.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of people might, you know, a lot of candidates would just do it for, like, the first time they run, it's almost like for publicity.
Yeah.
And the second, then they'll go again. Like, it's almost like you almost have to just keep doing it.
That's the thing. You see that a lot.
And, yeah.
Especially at the beginning, everyone's telling me, you know, oh, this is great. Your first run, you know, you get your toes
right.
And then you come back the second time and you're better. And that's fine, and I get it, but, like, One, I'm an extremely competitive person.
Right.
And so...
What's the point of doing it if you're not going to try to win?
Well, yeah. And
like if you're going to already set yourself up for failure by saying, this is my first one, I'll do it again.
No.
You're already going to fail.
That's how that works. Everyone that brings that to me, you know, I respectfully am like, you know, I don't even go there in my mind.
Right.
You know?
Well, they're being nice. I'll say that. They're probably just being nice or whatever. Like, hey, you know, if you don't win, it's okay. But like...
Yeah.
Yeah, respectfully, like, that's not how this works, man. This is like UFC, dude. You don't walk in and say, oh, man, I'm going to lose.
Exactly.
None of them do that. They actually go over the top the other direction so that they end up okay.
Yeah, I mean, because...
It's not realistic, sure, but it's like that's how you do it.
The things that you can end up creating or manifesting just by your thoughts.
Oh, dude.
That's huge.
Insane. And your whole emotions, everything about you can change.
Everything.
So,
and
I'm all about it, man.
I tell that to my kids all the time I coach, because I'm like, you know, I've seen enough crazy things happen that I know that if you put a concerted effort into thinking the right way, then anything can happen. And so that's what I've been doing with the campaign. Now, when I did have free time, you know, I love being outside. Like that's my thing.
Like camping, or what are we talking about?
Hiking, being on the river, kayaking, biking.
Right.
Like I love being outside.
So wow, okay. Well, that's good. Nice.
Is that surprising?
No, it's not. I actually love backpacking, and I got the whole setup going now. Like I used to have a 4Runner and all that, but for the last couple of years, me and my friends have definitely gotten really into backpacking. That's a big deal. Like going to Big Bend. Have you ever been there?
Oh, I have not been to Big Bend.
Bro, that's the one right there, dude.
That's on my list.
I love it. It's, you got to go when it's like cooler outside because it gets super freaking hot. Obviously,
yeah.
It's a desert.
Yeah.
It's arid, you know.
Where else in Texas have you been that you like?
The hill country, like Austin area, is nice. Beautiful. I haven't gone down there and done like multiple days. I've done like overnight once. And then we've gone to like Dinosaur Valley, which honestly is nice.
Glen Rose?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you go, so we went down there during COVID and no one was there. It was pretty cool. Mm. And the river was like flooded and we were going to get across it because usually you have to walk across and it's still kind of high to go to the back part of the park.
Okay.
So there's the front part of the park is where it's all like camping grounds here and there and it's nice and whatever. There's a back part of the park where you can go to that's like an actual hiking trail. It's like 5 or 6 miles or something like that, and you can camp and then do the rest of it. It's like a circle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like kind of hilly and there's actually terrain, right?
Yeah.
We wanted to do that and they were like, oh, it's closed. Recommended closed, not closed for sure. Like you, so it was interesting because we had to have a conversation with the ranger. So she's like, oh yeah, you can't go to that part, you know, it's closed. And we're like, okay, is it closed, like closed off? Or like, you know, if we can get across and do it, is it like at your own risk, you know? Because usually that's how it is. It's at your own risk, usually. And she was like, I'm not allowed to tell you yes or no, basically.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, great. Right, so here we go, you know? And I don't know her name, so I'm not going to call her out, obviously. So whatever, you know? I wouldn't anyway, I guess. But freaking Tammy. No, I'm just kidding. I started it. But anyway, so we had blow-up kayaks, dude. Like freaking...
Wow.
They're actually nice, but it sounds stupid when I tell people like, oh yeah, we had blow-up kayaks
that we used. You know? I totally see it, yeah.
I mean, now they're getting better, like with the paddle boards that are freaking blow-up and all that stuff too.
But oh yeah, yeah.
Anyway, we had these freaking kayaks, bro, and we like... It was a trek for sure, and we like got on the river, and the river's just raging, and we're going across. It was fun, dude.
Love it.
That was awesome. That was a good adventure, if you will.
Yeah,
we camped that. So I don't know. We kind of do whatever when we're out there. Yeah. One thing I would like to get into is kind of like rock climbing.
Me too. Free climbing. I'd love to do some free climbing. Yeah.
I'm not okay. I can't say I'm that guy. I can't go that far. Like bouldering's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not gonna go further than, you know.
I mean, I guess
my
if
body
we get
might allow.
Really, really.
Then it's free climb. It's like there has to be a level where you're like, okay, now you're free climbing. Sorry, dude, you're on your own.
Well, yeah, and I'm not really sure how. Like, when do you decide that you're not going to have a harness? You know, it would certainly have to be at the bottom because if I get halfway there and I'm like, oh crap.
Oh no. Yeah, the guys that do it, it's not like they. I don't think they get up there and halfway through they're like, I'm good now. I'm going to leave it behind. They no. If you're going, you're going full send.
Yeah.
You're just saying no. I'm not doing anything. Let's go. You know.
So there's a place in Austin, Lake Travis. It's called Pale Face. It's one of my favorite cliffs to jump off of in Texas. Yeah. So I'm an adrenaline junkie. Yeah. And so you go there, but to climb back up, I mean, it's straight up. I mean, it is straight up. And like there's points where you're just kind of like fingernails, like hanging tips of your fingers trying to climb back up. I live for it. That's great.
Yeah, nice. Okay. Well, yeah, if you're the guy, you're the guy, I guess, you know?
I guess so.
There's some people that are just like calm already when they go up there. It's like, this is what I have to do to get any kind of adrenaline.
Mm.
Me, on the other hand, I can jump off the stairs and be like, that was awesome, you know? That's adrenaline for me, man.
Yeah, no, not me.
Dang, dude. I was scared of roller coasters like growing up, all that stuff, dude. All that stuff, man. It was crazy. So how was Hawaii?
Amazing. Amazing.
Like, I was like, did you learn anything? Like, culture wise, is it like?
Yeah. So,
because I've heard there's a lot of differences. Like, if you're not in the touristy areas, they hate you. Like, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. You know, that's kind of a myth. I'll say.
Okay.
You know, I heard that when I moved out there, I was told that too. And you know, if you're white, you're called a howley. And you know, they're like, yo, don't go to the west side. That, you know, they don't like howleys out there. And I never experienced it once. So what I loved about Hawaii was everybody is family out there. You know, like you've got your aunties and your uncles, and that's what you call them. They will feed you every day.
Yeah.
And it's just I miss that about Hawaii, and I miss the pace. It's slow. I'll give you an example. I was broke as a joke when I lived in Hawaii. I mean, I was in college. I was working, you know, two jobs as well.
Yeah.
And broke as a joke, but never even knew it, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't an issue. I had enough money to, you know, pay what I needed to pay for. And then it's that laid back lifestyle, you know?
Yeah. So you kind of fell into that. You fell into their culture. That's cool. Actually,
yeah,
you know,
it was great.
Growing up in East Texas, it may be a little bit similar. Like no one ever really talked to you about money. You know, it wasn't like, oh, you have more money than me or whatever. You know? Being in DFW definitely changed that for me. I was like, holy crap, this is like way different, man.
Yeah.
That's why they call it the rat race. You know, it's like, man, this is, and Dallas is like, we were talking about this earlier, Dallas is literally on top of that. They do that.
So, yeah.
$30,000 millionaire or whatever, you know, that whole thing.
Exactly. Right? So. And that's what I kind of noticed in coming back is just like, there's almost a sense of pressure to, you've got to look successful, you know, and I never really felt that in Hawaii.
Right.
You know,
it's awesome.
I mean, awesome. Nothing beats being in board shorts all day, every day. Church doesn't matter. Board shorts, you know?
Yeah.
That was great.
That's freaking awesome, dude. That sounds a lot like California used to be, you know?
Oh, yeah.
The culture or whatever.
You know? Yeah. I'm telling you, we got a lot of Californians moving to Texas.
Well, yeah, sure. And I, you know, people in Texas want to say, you know, don't California my Texas, but most of the ones I've talked to, which has been a handful, not really that many, have stated they're going to vote Republican just because they're like, yeah, we're finally tired of this and that, you know, and so I don't think it's going to be what they think. I think that they are going to come over here and they're probably going to, unless it's like people that work for Tesla that have to move or whatever, you know, maybe they might be different, but.
I've heard the same. I've met a lot of people. I met some from Oregon too the other day, and most are leaving the situation that they're in. And I heard one guy, you know, arguing, saying, you know, no, they're coming, you know, they're still going to vote Democrat. And I'm like, well, I haven't heard it yet. And that's my big thing, you know, until I see it with my own eyes or hear it, you know, directly, then we're just going to.
Well, look, and on top of that, dude, that same guy, like, oh, are you lukewarm Republican? Because, like, you know, everyone else in Texas is. So, like, if you go to vote, do you go to vote? Like, do you even vote? Like, you know, it's.
That's usually what I ask people when they want to get into some kind of debate, and usually at a bar, because I'm like, listen, if we're gonna debate at a bar, then I have one question for you.
It's always at a bar, dude.
When's the last time you voted?
Right.
9 times out of 10, they can't even tell me an election. You know, honest. I voted it for Obama in 2008. Okay, you know, so I'm like, if you're not actively participating in the process, I'm not even gonna bother debating you, and it's as simple as that.
I'll say this, man. I have not been old enough to vote for. Well, actually, I guess I have, I don't know, 8 years, whatever, 9 years, I don't know, whatever. But I've never voted in a midterm election or, you know, a mid-election, whatever you call it.
Why not?
Just because I haven't. I haven't known anything about it. I never. So my thing with voting is I've voted now at this point, but the only thing I haven't done yet is vote whenever it's in between presidents, you know, like we're coming up midterm. I haven't done that.
Hey.
So I haven't voted for governor. I haven't voted for any of that stuff.
Well, this is going to be exciting then.
It will be. Well, it'll be probably more exciting than most of them. It's going to be like a red wave. But, you know, the reason I didn't before was because I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know anything about any of the candidates. I never knew anything about politics. I wasn't into it. I didn't do any of that, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, only thing that changed that is freaking Matt, my co-host. He was just like, you need to know this stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, it's interesting. So. That's a lot of Americans, you know?
Yeah. Well, I feel like I don't know if I'd stand for all of Americans, but it's common. My story is literally like the same. Like, they're like, we don't really know. The generation, I think it's a generational thing too. Like, millennials, like, dude, we don't.
Why do you think that is, though?
You know, we didn't have to. We didn't have to.
Right.
That's why. There wasn't anything going on for us to be like affecting our. Literally, the answer I would get most of the time, like my brother, it doesn't affect me personally.
Yep.
And until it affects me personally, that's whenever I'll be like, oh, crap.
And here we
are. Well, dude, what the heck? Like, it will. It's eventually if you don't do anything about it. And they're like, no, none of those policies affect us anyway. They all just make themselves better or whatever. And I'm like, well, to some extent, maybe they're making their pockets richer. But, you know, there's a trickle-down effect to everything they do. So, and I'm learning that now. So I'm like, man, you know.
Well, I think a huge issue was, I mean, do you remember your high school government class? Like, do you remember anything about it?
A little bit. She loved The Economist, the magazine, which is fine. You know, actually, there's some good info at that point in time. Now it's kind of like, whoa, but she was a little bit wacky.
Yeah.
And she was libertarian.
Okay.
Looking back, I wish that I wasn't who I was.
Right, right.
I didn't give a crap about that.
Well,
you know?
And most of us, let's be honest, didn't. Even I remember my college government class. I mean, I really wasn't like inspired by anything,
right.
But you know, there we used to, you know, back in the day, your grandparents' day, my grandparents' day, before then, you know, there was a huge emphasis in schools on not just the pledges, but our founding documents, the Constitution, Declaration of Independence. Like there was a huge push for that, and so you saw, you know, back then a bigger, you know, push to be a part of the process. But you know, government classes now and civics classes, they're not what they used to be. I mean, I don't know, I just feel like that we could be doing a lot to inspire future generations to get involved.
Yeah, I think that we definitely went a media way instead, like,
oh yeah, headlines.
We're way more into media.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Like Amber Heard and Johnny Depp, which is fine. Yeah, that's actually a thing that could be a precedent in a way for us to realize that girls can be crazy too, I guess.
Oh, but, gosh.
But, you know,
that trial is nuts.
Have you been watching it at all?
I've bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Like someone will send me a clip and
dude,
I'm like,
they're all
wow.
Clips, dude. Clips are just going like right and left. Blah, 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 you know, 14 million views
stuff.
On this clip and all this stuff. And it's like, what the heck?
There's some crazy stuff in there.
I didn't get to sit down and watch the whole thing, but they're done with it now finally. But I don't think they haven't gotten a verdict yet, so it's like, and the judge is just getting frustrated with the lawyers now. But whatever, dude. The point was, yeah, man, I'm actually into that. I can't lie to you. I'm like, man, this trial is interesting.
Oh, I know.
You know,
yeah.
And you know, that's reality TV,
mm-hmm.
And that's our culture in media and how it's progressed us this far into this.
Oh man,
what we're in now, you know?
Yeah, that's a social media. You know, I think I'm a little bit older than you, but we
for sure.
We got, you know, social media right at the end, you know,
yeah.
You know, just at the end, we, like high school was when.
Yeah, you're probably like 4 or 5 years older than me, I think.
Yeah.
When did you graduate high school?
2006.
Whoa. Oh, crap.
Is that like so old?
Nah, dude, no, you're good. It's 6 years though.
Okay.
So yeah, you're my brother's age,
dude. That's a huge gap though.
Social media and the way technology is gone, yes, it is a huge gap. So this makes a lot more sense. So yeah, you're my brother's age.
Okay.
And my brother's obviously, he's like 31 now, 32,
okay.
Whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a producer for a game company.
Oh, wow.
But we went completely different paths.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, he was just now getting into social media and stuff like that. He still doesn't even like, because he caught the tail end of it.
Yeah.
He doesn't even click on it. He didn't get into it. He didn't do any of that. You know, he's barely.
I mean, we had like AOL, like the AIM chat.
And I remember doing that because I was like, he was my brother. So since he was my brother and he was a tech guy, you know, I was like, man, I can't not have AIM and all that stuff. But I was like, most of the kids in my grades did not care about that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but it was an easy way for me to get around, like, back when text messaging costs money, you know, like 200 text messages a month or whatever,
yes.
You know, I was in sixth grade, you know, and my first phone and I bought it, you know, and all this stuff, but worked at a gas station for cash because it was illegal, but, you know, because you're too young, you know.
Yeah.
Back in those times, it was like, yeah, you use AIM and you use freaking instant messaging because it's free.
Mm-hmm.
You already have internet.
Man.
And it could work on dial-up. That was the main
thing. Really?
Yeah, you could make it happen because, you know, I lived in the freaking boonies in East Texas pretty much, so it was either, you know, satellite or...
Ugh.
It was crap, dude. But you were in Fort Worth at that point, or Dallas, Fort Worth, or whatever.
Yeah, no.
So you guys had freaking rocking internet by that point, probably.
Denton,
you know?
I think. Yeah.
DSL or whatever.
Oh, yeah. We were super ritzy back then with our DSL. That's so funny. Man,
how
far we've come, though, you know? I mean, and it's a double-edged sword, though.
That's what I was going to say. In some aspects, all this stuff is good.
But
you know, I keep listening. What I don't like to do is discredit something completely.
Yeah,
and I'll listen to people that are close to me. They'll be like, TikTok was the fall of it all. It's the end. They say that about everything. They do. And I to some extent, maybe, but I think. What's up, guys? This is Sky from the Toasty Podcast. To keep this short, I just want to let you know, I don't like doing the support with the donation. I like to do a support with giving you a product. So with that said, go to toasttoliberty.com and you'll find all of our merch there. That's mainly t-shirts, actually, not really all different types of merch. But buy a t-shirt that supports us, that supports the show, that keeps us moving forward. And they're not gimmicky t-shirts either. They're not Gildan from Walmart. They're not these terrible clothing brands. It's nice, soft material that you would actually like to wear time and time again. And of course, it shows us off as well. So if you guys want to support us, please go to toasttoliberty.com and buy a t-shirt there instead of clicking the donate button. I'm not really much of a donate guy. I'd rather have an actual physical product in your hands for supporting us. So toasttoliberty.com, check us out there. Now back to the show. I think it's because like these are teachers that I'm talking about, and they see the kids, and they're like,
oh, yeah.
These kids are like totally different than they've ever been. They're all like mimicking TikTok stuff all the time. And
all
like,
the time.
All of them do the same exact thing.
You know, though?
Apparently. It's, but I'm like, isn't there other things that are just like this?
I mean, there is, but I'll tell you one thing, because I work with kids, and I know how I was as a kid, especially.
How old are the kids you work with? Teenagers, essentially?
I mean, the ones that I work with, yeah, tend to be older. So, 14, 15, 16,
right,
17.
Right.
Now, I have worked with some of the younger ones before. But also, you know, we always say, you know, the kids have changed. Parenting has also changed, you know, with the rise of social media and, you know, social media becoming a babysitter somewhat.
Wow.
You know,
that's a good point.
The discipline is gone, you know, I mean, because we've asked a team before, like, especially like the really young ones, like, how many of you get spankings? And like, no one raises their hand. And we're like, wow, that explains everything. Like,
right. You
know,
no discipline.
Yeah.
Right.
Like I got the belt and, you know, I'm just like, I think there's a lot, it's not just the kids that have changed, you know, and it's not just social media, but I will say, do they go outside as much and ride bikes and get crazy as we did?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think so. But
that's important. I mean, it really is. So I don't know.
And I'm not sure if, you know, I don't want to blame that on TikTok, though.
No. Yeah.
Because like you just said, it's parenting. I don't want to blame that on TikTok because it's a matter of just like everything else, everything in moderation. Like you don't want your kid playing video games all the time. Then, okay, it's the same thing as TikTok at that point.
Yeah. No, I mean, TikTok is not going to be the fall of humanity.
I would say TikTok is maybe more sensational than all these other things, which kudos to them because they just made a freaking thing that is like insanely sensational, and they're making money from that, obviously.
Did it not freak you out that they were like a Chinese-owned company?
And oh, it freaks me
like
out. It still freaks me out.
Spyware
what
situation.
What do you mean freaks me out? Like, that stuff's real, dude.
I mean, very real.
Like, you have to understand, man, our greatest threat to cyber attacks is China.
Cybersecurity
is China.
It's China in cahoots with the people that we pretend that we trust.
Dude, there are companies that will literally go get partners that are in China.
Yeah.
They'll try to partner with them. And if they don't do it right, China takes over their company. This happens. So
it's nuts.
I mean, we're in that time right now.
Yeah.
And they'll take the intelligence they need and then be like, okay, now we own your company, whatever. It's a real thing, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, and yeah, of course, I'm skeptical when they own. My thoughts are, for me specifically, you know, I end up making money from all this stuff. So it's not like I do it anyway.
Right, right.
Unfortunately, I guess, or fortunately, no. I'm not sure. But if I were, you know, just a pleb out here doing whatever, you know, do you think I would do it? Nah.
Right, right.
It's all Toasty Podcast anyway. And like, yeah, I have my own socials, but like, nah.
Yeah, no.
It's whatever.
I get it. I do.
Because they're definitely looking at all. I mean, even if I'm a nobody to them, because that's sometimes the argument. Oh, I'm just, who cares if they see everything?
Right.
I'm nobody.
Right.
That doesn't matter to me
because
that means they can see everyone else that I see, everyone else that I talk to, and my tree, my network. That's the bigger thing here. It's not necessarily just about the person they're looking into. It's the fact that they can see from that, they can see the branches, the tree, whatever.
And I'll tell you that, gosh, there's so many different tangents we could go on with just that alone, but that is why it is so important that we have leadership in every state, not just Texas, not just here, that understands how important it is to reaffirm states' rights. You know, that is a huge, huge issue. And
so I agree with that.
Yeah.
I think speaking of that, though, we can talk about Roe v. Wade if you want.
Okay. Yeah. Let's get into it.
Because I don't think that, you know, I agree. I think that, yeah, states' rights matter more. What was the original point of federal government in the first place?
There was like three purposes. It was like to secure the nation, right? To provide arms and security.
Between border lines. Right.
Yeah. And like national security.
Oh, okay, right.
You know, outside threats. It was interstate commerce, so trading between different states. And there's another one, and I don't even know. That shows you how much I really care about the federal government, because we've given it so much power, and really,
it's gone past those three things for sure.
Oh my gosh, we have let it grow into this beast, and we're seeing the effects of that now. And constitutionally speaking, I mean, we're a constitutional republic, so all of this power that they have, you know, self-appointed themselves, it's null and void, you know. But Americans in general don't understand this, and they don't understand how important it is to have a state leader or just states' rights in general. So, I mean, that's another reason why, you know, my big push is to limit federal and state overreach. You know, thank God we were in Texas when COVID happened, because we've seen how tyrannical some states got.
Yeah, you know, I think it almost went that direction. I think Abbott is a political windsock, and so whenever it came down to COVID, you know, yeah, he ended up making the right moves to get reelected, right? Because most likely it's what's going to happen. I'm just going to say it.
Okay.
You know, you said his real name is Francis Beto, whatever. Oh, he's not going to. I don't think he's going to make it. But anyway, with that, you know, he still made some bad moves at the beginning. You know, and it was like, what are you doing, dude? And that's why I say he's a political windsock, because at that point he was following. At that point he was like, not making decisions on, and I can't say him specifically, because like Lieutenant Governor and whoever else is with him is probably making these decisions as well.
Yeah, but I mean, that's, God.
But then he turned it around, and everyone's like, oh, thank you for turning it around. And DeSantis is like, we already did this. This is what we've been doing the whole time, you know?
DeSantis is killing it.
And what was it, South Dakota or whoever? They were like, well, we've been doing this whole time too. We said no to this.
Yeah.
So, you know, Texas is great, and I am thankful that I'm in Texas. Yeah. But don't forget, you know, this guy is still a rhino to some extent.
Yeah, you know, I just
standing your ground or whatever.
I can't even imagine, you know, being in that situation for the first time. Now, I'm not giving anyone a free pass.
What you're saying is true, though.
I'm just curious. Like, I really do want to know what kind of pressure the federal government puts on the states, because, you know, I mean, I want to know. You know,
what was it like? And I can talk trash all day, but like if I was in that room and I'm at it and I'm like, what is it like? Is it just some random dude that's telling me from the federal government, hey, you should probably do this, follow our lead? Or is it like tens and twenties of these people just coming in and being like, if you don't do this, this is what happens. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because usually that's how it is. It's like, if you don't do this, we take your money or whatever it might
be. Their funding. Yeah.
But even though Texas has freaking always been
Loaded. Oh, and we're going
into surplus. We've always been on a surplus.
And we have a huge one.
Because of our Constitution.
Yeah.
You know, well, our specific Constitution.
The Texas Constitution?
Yeah.
Well, I'll say this, like, if anything, this whole pandemic, things like that, I think it just kind of sealed the resolve, at least for me, that, okay, I know how important states' rights are, individual liberties and freedoms, and the smaller we can make the federal government, you know, and the state, the better we all are. And, you know, now that we're past it, that was your one free pass, whoever was in leadership. And from that point forward, though, every single decision that's being made, I mean, if it doesn't filter through, hey, is that states' rights? Is that, you know, in keeping with my personal liberties and freedoms? Then, you know, get out.
Right. Yeah, dude. So that's why I think Roe v. Wade makes sense to be a states' right issue.
Oh, absolutely. It should have never been a federal issue in the first place.
Right.
Yeah.
And people freak out. You know, they think instantly, which actually some states will be, but instantly abortion will be banned, which there's some trigger, like Texas is one of them. There's like trigger laws in place where if it does get overturned, automatically it's banned or whatever. But anywho, it doesn't mean that it's like instantly all of America is banned abortion. That's not how it works.
A lot of people in Texas are like, it's going to be illegal.
Right.
And I mean, that just shows your lack of knowledge, you know, as far as government goes. But, It should have never been a federal issue in the first place. I mean, that whole case is weird. If you go back and look at it now.
Oh, yeah.
And
there's something going on, in my opinion, with the Supreme Court in that position.
Oh, man.
In the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why there's so many people in the Supreme Court now that support overturning it, even, you know, bipartisan almost. And I feel like there would be more if they didn't have pressure from their side, but...
Oh, man. You know, the thing is, everything I hear now, I hate that I've turned into such a cynic, but it's like, I just don't believe anything I hear anymore. You know, it's like they sensationalize Roe v. Wade and everyone's freaking out, up in arms about it. And then the next thing we know, it's, you know, I don't know, Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, and then it's Ukraine. And then I'm just like, you know, this roller coaster that we have been put on, you know, via the media and, you know, some of these crazy governors. I'm just like, I don't have time for it anymore. Like, I just want to focus on our little area, you know, making that as strong and as prosperous and as, you know, and just empower it as much as I can. And because that really is how you affect change. You start local and it just ripples out.
Yeah, I believe it. I agree with you, honestly, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, so speaking of our community, I need to know things to do, man. Okay. I mean, I know things to do. I'm just like, you know, if I'm a new guy in Fort Worth, what am I doing? You know, I know there's tons of bars, obviously.
Tons of bars.
I want to know, really, though, like, is there any political meetings that ever happen in Fort Worth?
That's, oh, gosh.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, as far as, like conventions or whatever, you know?
So, Fort Worth has a ton of grassroots organizations. Okay. A ton. Now, you got to find your niche, though. You got to find which ones you want to go to. So, I've been hitting them all up.
Yeah, it'd be all the above. I just want to be a podcast out here doing that. So, it's
yeah. So, I mean, there's a ton. I'll send you a list. I mean, we've got True Texas Project. I don't know if you've heard of them, but they've been around for a while, very involved. Well, recently they got put on like the extremist watch list from like the FBI or the DOJ. Oh, yeah. And like it's so funny because like the president, Fran Rhodes, is the sweetest like little old white-haired lady. Love her to death. She's endorsed me, and she's just fantastic. And it's like you look at this group, and they do a lot of great things. They're always in Austin. They're always putting pressure on our legislators. They're always, I mean, they know what they're doing. But it's like the extremists, like the watch list, you know, these people. And so that's one example, but we've got a lot. We've got a lot of people here that want to see Fort Worth succeed.
I don't understand why FBI, and I don't understand why they would even care that much to go that far. Who is sitting here? Who is sitting there watching this organization? Like, who sees that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't understand how that even goes up the chain.
I don't either.
That's the dumbest thing.
But
it's like,
you know, we see the FBI coming after parents at school boards. So it's,
right.
It's clearly coming from the top. You know, what's interesting about that is Merrick Garland, his son-in-law or his son or whatever, also is like single-handedly involved in all of the crazy curriculum we're seeing in schools, like this, you know, the CRT, SEL. And, you know, you put those two together and then now they're on the FBI watch list. It's like, okay, it's just this incestuous relationship going on in Austin or in DC. So yeah, it's nuts. But yeah, we have a lot of really good organizations here. I know True Texas Project is great. We have Project Fort Worth. They're really good. And then we have a lot of Republican clubs. You know, we actually have a Libertarian club/party here, like right here. They meet right over here at Bearded Lady, like once a Saturday, and they all have lunch.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
They all? Is it like five of them?
Yeah. I mean, there's not a lot, but I really like them. I really
Yeah, Libertarian! Dude, I get it, and there's a lot of things about Libertarians I agree with.
Yeah.
Because they kind of fall in line with the right side anyway sometimes with a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Where I stop with Libertarian is just religious and moral views of my own, so I can't really say it's because for a good reason, you know what I'm saying?
Well, they just had a big... At that point. Shake up the Libertarian Party. So
really, so yeah. I mean, everyone will, like, a lot of people will say they're libertarian, and I don't even know if they know what it even originally stood for or you know what it stands for now.
Just like the word liberal.
I mean,
like,
hell, I don't even know if I know.
So. Liberal was not the term that we think liberal is now. You know, it was more in keeping with a conservative libertarian who is just like, you know, the government, leave me alone, mind your business, you know? And so it's just interesting how the word liberal now is associated with the far left.
Oh, yeah, dude. My co-host is like, I'm a classical liberal. He'll say that on the show. He's like, I'm actually a classical liberal. And I'm like, explain that, you know, and we talked about it, and I'm like, I get it, and I'm actually here for it. Yeah. For me, I'm definitely more open-minded to things anyway, and I'll talk to anybody, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
And so that's why I always thought, you know, I'm liberal-minded in that sense, I am, you know, and the fact that it was pinned to the left is like weird to me.
You know,
so
you know, our biggest problem is just aligning ourselves wholeheartedly with, you know, either the right or the left, because people are not like that in general, you know?
Right.
And so for me, when I first announced that I was running, everyone, not everyone, but most people laughed at me, you know, and were like, you're nuts. You're a Republican running in a Democratic, blah, blah, blah. The thing is even though we have historically have blue or Democratic district, you go talk to those people, there are so many things that they don't agree with that party does, you know, just like the right. So it's like, hello. We're only going to fix this by someone coming in and being like, hey, let's listen to both sides. There's there's things we can glean from you. We can glean from you. I mean, good night.
I mean, look, every day is a new day. And like, so for me, you know, you can literally change your perspective in one day. Mm. Like something can happen. And next thing you know, you're like, oh, I see that side now, or I kind of agree with this or that, or you change your view on something. So what you're saying is true. You can't just pin someone on right or left. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
Literally, life experiences change everybody all the time. So if you have someone that comes in and isn't always sticking to one side or the other and is like, let's listen to life experience and everything else, then it'll work better. And that's a populist idea. That's what that is. And I am honestly 100% behind that. That's kind of what we need, I think.
You know, the
as far as the country goes.
The problem, though, is the government intervening into all of, and, you know, putting their hand in every single social issue. Mm-hmm. That's when it becomes the issue, you know?
Yeah, it's like, you get identity, you get identity politics and all that stuff, too, so.
Yeah.
But like I said, I've only been here for 5 months, so I really don't even know all the problems, you know? Like, homelessness.
Homelessness, man, it's gotten a lot better, but we have a lot of work to do. I mean, I'm telling you, it's better, but I mean, whew, it used to be.
What's her name? Is her name Nicole? Nicole, right?
My opponent?
Yeah.
Yes, Nicole.
I mean, you don't even say your opponent, like the incumbent or whatever, the one that's there now, right?
Yeah, no, I usually say my opponent.
She, do they like work closely with the mayor of Fort Worth at all? Or like, how does that work?
I mean, they could have a great relationship with the mayor.
Oh
yeah.
Oh, they don't.
No. I mean, I can't speak for her relationship with our mayor or the last mayor. All I can say is every legislator that I've spoken with has looked me directly in the eye and told me, you've got to win. So I take that for what it is.
Okay.
I would love to have working relationships with the mayors. In fact, there is the city of Everman. You know, I went down and met.
Where is that?
So it is down south. So you know where Burleson's at?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like a little bit in that area.
Okay.
Yeah.
nice.
I know. Great directions.
Yeah.
But anyways, you know, they went through a horrible ordeal with her particularly. You know, their whole town flooded and she came, you know, flying in on a Golden Eagle saying, hey, we're gonna provide you with, you know, FEMA and emergency management funds. And then she ghosted them, completely ghosted the entire town. So who does the town get mad at? The mayor, the city manager. And I mean, you can't just do that to people. What the hell are you thinking?
Holy crap.
And so, I mean, things like that, I mean, just left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths.
Yeah, that's not like a Tinder date. You know what I'm saying? Like you don't just, and even though I don't agree with that either, but that's not how it works, man. You can't bring your cultural weird things about like ghosting people in general and just, oh, let's do that to a whole town.
I wonder if she has a history of ghosting people.
I don't know. Like you look at, I don't know.
But a whole town.
It's wild.
So, yeah, and they just never heard back, never responded to emails, never did anything like that. So,
yeah, they sent me 3 texts in a row, and you know, you don't do that.
Yeah. I think that we should have a great relationship with our legislators, but We'll see.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, I just recently read that we did a, I guess we already had this election, so I guess it's over, but for them to make more money, mayor and the city council.
Yeah.
I actually agree with it.
Tell me why.
Because the mayor made like $29,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It makes sense in a smaller city to have a mayor that doesn't really, that's not her constant day job.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be anyway. Yeah. And so she might have some other things going on and make some money somewhere else.
Right.
And then she's the mayor, you know, half a day every day or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But that's not practical in Fort Worth.
That's kind of where
it's not practical in Dallas, obviously, because they're basing it off of Dallas.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
I agree with you. And I was on the fence for a while.
Yeah, and when you've got city like firemen and police and everything else, they work for the city as well.
Right.
They make more than the mayor.
Right. Well,
I'm not saying they shouldn't, but
we're over a million or something close. We're either pushing a million people.
Right.
I mean, Fort Worth is massive. You're literally running an empire.
Yeah, so what is she doing every day?
I kind of agree. Well, see, that's the thing.
She's the mayor, right?
I would love if, you know, what they should do is be like, boom, here is a list of the duties here, you know, like
to-do list, and this
like
is what
literally,
we actually do,
if
yeah.
you really want this, show everybody what the job is, because
right.
a lot of people just think it's photo ops and it's you know, things like that. Like,
yeah.
show people the job, give them a little bit more than we want, you know, a huge raise.
Transparency.
Because I will say though, there's some city councilmen. Hell no, they do not deserve a raise. They
right.
don't, and they're shady. Not all of them. Not all councilmen are shady, but they're moving to districts they don't even live in, or lying on their applications. And no, like, we should have separated the mayor and city council. I mean, really.
Well, because you look at the city manager and he makes like $393,000.
The city manager
like that, right?
is running all the shots.
And I looked up the budget, not the budgets, but what they make, because it's all public, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, yo, 29 something for a mayor job of this city?
Right.
I'm like, that's insane.
But see, that's the thing too. We need to know the duties here.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And my thing is, yeah, okay, fine. If her duties don't actually make her work, she works 2 hours a day.
Right.
I get it.
Yeah.
Like, that's like freaking my hometown, Lindale. And I guarantee you
Lindale.
Yeah, Miranda Lambert, whoa, whatever,
yeah.
you know? Yeah, stupid. Anyway, stupid. I can go on a whole rant about that.
All
she
right.
listens, you know, freaking.
Settle down. We
bro,
love you, Miranda.
She's on a billboard for no reason right now. She doesn't even claim Lindale.
She doesn't?
No, she claims like Edmonton, Oklahoma.
What?
Yeah, yes.
Her
yeah.
parents were involved in some interesting things.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Let's go down that rabbit hole. What are you talking about, dude?
Well, I thought that was
Tell
common
more,
knowledge.
Dude.
They were, weren't they? I was hoping you could give me more
oh,
info.
Oh, I don't, I mean, they probably were. I wouldn't be surprised,
like
but
with,
I don't know what you mean.
With
though.
The government? Well, they're private
oh,
eyes, private investigators.
Okay.
And there's a few cases that
right.
you should just look into.
She was, she was like close to her grandparents. So I think, yeah, there's probably something there.
Yeah.
I don't know all the details about that.
Yeah.
I know that I was freaking working at Brookshire's as a kid,
awesome.
You know, and I would take her grandparents' groceries out, and they'd be like, "Do you know who we are?" Every single time. I'm like, "Oh, get out of here." They're all kind of like that.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I was in junior high when she was in high school, and like,
because
she's like your age, a little bit older actually, but yeah, she's something else. Anyway, wow, off that tangent. So yeah, if it's like Lindale and the mayor of Lindale, he doesn't do crap, right? I don't know who it might be now, but you know, so he might make $20,000.
Yeah.
And have his business going, you know? Like, you're running right now. You have your own business.
Yeah.
What, are you just going to stop that business?
Right, no, absolutely
No, you're not.
Not.
You're going to keep it going.
And yeah.
To an extent, that can make sense in some areas.
Yeah. Well, there's good arguments on both sides, but
right.
it's like, yeah, I'd love to see, like...
Just to see what she does.
Right, you know?
And, yeah, I agree. And, like, and you know, you can say... The problem is she would be able to say, well, I do all of these things, and then... You know, it turns out they have like three assistants or something.
Well,
she might have.
Yeah,
at least she
know.
Doesn't pay them. So it's like you can either have $80,000 a year or have two assistants.
Oh, like you'd be like this.
Right?
I have no
yeah,
idea.
Yeah, because you'd be able to make money and do it all yourself.
I mean, it's just interesting because it's like now we see politicians who are in bigger offices that are there for 150 years and you walk in with, you know, $80,000 to their name, walk out with $123 million. And I don't think that that's going to be the case if we give them this raise, you know,
not in Fort Worth, bro.
No,
that's not how that works.
Yeah.
Insider trading in Fort Worth. Like they probably still don't even know the right people to do that. They know some people. I'm not going to say they don't. I don't know who they know necessarily, but it's not Nancy Pelosi. Like, they're not out here,
right?
You know, yeah. So,
except my opponent.
Really?
Oh, yeah. She's got a love affair going on with Washington, D.C. I mean, you know, I think we talked about it. I don't know. But, you know, when things got hairy here in Texas.
Oh, she fled. You told me about that. She was like, peace out like a trout. Yeah. I guess.
I don't like that.
Well, what do you, okay, what do you do in your position or her position? Like, what are you actually even doing? Are you just going to bat for your district? Is that how that works? Are you just going to bat for the legislator or whatever?
Well, it certainly wasn't
our district. Or what are you actually doing?
As much as she tries to say that it was for her constituents, it wasn't. It was to make a big splash. You know, the whole thing was they didn't agree with the election integrity bill, and they didn't want to vote on it, and so in order to not vote on it,
they fled.
Right,
she was one of the ones that fled during that time. Okay,
yes, and you know, mind you, per diem, all these things, taxpayer dollars here. You know,
she used it for the flight.
Of course. Right? Well, I mean, yeah, and they get paid. You know, I can't remember the amount per day. When we were all being chased out of Walgreens and 7-Eleven, me in particular, for not wearing masks. You know, they flying maskless on a plane. You know, it's just the blatant in your face, like
hypocrisy.
Right. That it just really irks me, and. Yeah.
But yeah, but what I mean is, like, so day to day, what are you going to be doing?
Well,
I don't know what this job, I don't know what it even
state
entails.
Legislature.
Dude.
So,
what do you do?
Really, when the governor, there's sessions, right? So, we'll be going to the 88th session. And so, it's the state representatives and the Senate, they make up the legislature. And that's how you get your laws. You allocate state budgets. They put you over certain committees and things like that. So, the thing is you maybe only have to go down to Austin once or twice a year. Now, you don't see that with a lot of legislatures, like or legislators. My opponent, she's got an apartment down there. You know, it just depends on what kind of politician you want to be, right? I would like to go during session, do the job, and then come back, and then be engaged and involved in the community. How else are you going to know what your constituents want if you're not involved or engaged with them? You know, that's why we call her No Show Nicole. We don't know her. You know, I can't tell you how many people I've spoken with, doors I've knocked on. Who is our representative? Same one since 2012. You're right. And it's like with me as a state representative, we're going to be a family, and that's how I see it, you know, and that's the only way we're going to be able to move forward with this whole government and citizen relationship.
Yeah, I think you're right. Cause you got to be close to the people that are actually gonna make a change in your life like that.
Yeah. Or and then don't elect me again.
Because that's why people are turning to the TV. That's why people are turning to their national government.
Right.
I think they do that because they have,
that's a good point.
They obviously are trained to, first of all, but second of all, they are like, they don't have anyone to turn to. When you say, hey, it's all about local government and, you know, email or send a letter to your Congress or whatever.
Yeah.
Does anyone even know? Yeah. First of all, I don't know if that does anything.
And it stacks up.
Right.
And, you know, nothing ever happens.
Right.
And, you know, her office is one block away from me. You know, I've walked by that thing every day.
And I know you can go on and look, who is my local representative or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But...
yeah.
Yeah, who does that?
We end up
turning to, but if there's someone right in front of you, like you or whoever,
right.
I had no idea, right? But you were like, oh yeah, I'm running for this and all that. And I'm like, you seem like a normal guy. Cool. Yeah. You know?
Well, I mean,
that's it.
It's hard. We all have a bad taste in our mouth when it comes to politicians, you know, but so do I. You know, that is the only reason that, like you said, a normal person has a small little business out here would even dream to do this because it's nuts. And
yeah, and it tends to separate you from real society. That's my biggest thing, right? And you're saying, no, I can't do that.
You can't
happen. If you go into it like, I'm not going to do that, I think it'll be good. You know?
I mean, yeah.
Just kind of how that goes.
Yeah, and then actions speak louder than words. So my thing is if you don't see it happening, get me out of there. I mean, what else?
Well, I know, right, but... Another thing is to keep in mind is like to make sure people know how hard it is to actually get stuff done.
Well, yeah. Well, again, communication, you know, being transparent with your constituents, making them part of the process.
Right. Yeah, I tried, but your state, whatever, doesn't want it. Sorry. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah. No, I get that for sure.
Because it's still like kind of a voting basis thing. Like, it's not like you just say, hey, I want this done now, you know?
Well, I'll give you an example. Like, talk about the border, right?
Yeah.
Everyone is concerned about the border. Okay. name a representative who is using the platform to talk about the border every day.
I don't know about every day. Chip Roy, okay. he kind of goes hard on that, right?
Fantastic, yes. Local state representatives?
Yeah. No,
it's just like a personal, it's just an example. Like, bro, these, at least my opponent, not using her platform like she could.
Yeah.
You know, when talking about inflation right now, which is nuts and it's not going anywhere, you know,
right.
The border, like at least I know I'd get airtime, media, I'd get anything I wanted to just be a voice for these things. And sometimes that's all it takes. You just got to, you know, ingrain it into the brains of society and then they'll
instead
demand
of
it.
Them watching CNN or Fox or whatever, right?
Yes,
all of the above, honestly.
Gosh, yeah.
But that's why, you know, it's so important. I would say actually important now, if you're going to be a new politician, don't be a correspondent for the big news. Either side, no matter what you're doing. That would almost be like a marketing scheme.
What do you mean correspondent? Like,
well, like, so if you, because the thing is, the problem is people are so polarized already. So you're going right. to walk in, you're going to say, Fox News, I'm a Republican. Would you like to have me as a correspondent every once in a while and have me on the show?
I see.
No.
Right.
That's like a thing. If I were doing this, I would not.
I see what you're saying now.
Because yeah. it's like, well, that's going to screw me.
Right.
In a way,
well,
isn't it?
It's just adding to the echo chamber.
So if I can get myself a platform instead of having them do it.
Yeah.
Boom.
You know what you do is
you go on a podcast.
You go on a podcast.
What up?
Yeah. You say, hey, I'm going to be at this place, church, whatever, at this time.
Yeah.
Like, come, let's go.
Right.
And the media will come.
Oh, yeah, they will. And you know, it's funny. One person that did that, Beto.
God.
He like will plan out where he's going to be, you
Francis.
Know. And,
well, Francis is campaigning. I mean,
Francis. That's his real name, right?
Well,
Francis?
It's Robert Francis O'Rourke.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where did Beto come from?
Roberto.
Oh.
Beta.
Right. Weird, man. I didn't know his name was actually Francis. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, he was at Flying Saucer or whatever whenever they were doing the run, you know, the primaries. So
I'm glad I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was a big deal, apparently. I don't know.
Ugh.
I didn't go, obviously, but, you know.
I mean, he's his little stunt the other day was interesting.
Yeah, I don't know, man. If I could get him on the show, that'd be great, but we'll see what happens.
That would be an interesting conversation.
I don't care. I just want to hear him, yeah. I just want to hear him and see what he says.
We'll do it. Come on.
Yeah, it's still harder than it's harder said. Like,
he's campaigning.
Said
he should want it,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I know. I've hit him up, socials, all that stuff. You know, I go the route of hitting their campaign rather than them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could email him, I guess. But I'm talking about like his campaign managers and his marketing agents or whatever should see this stuff because I'm doing it through social media and everything.
They probably do.
They're like, oh, this guy, maybe he's the guy, you know?
Yeah, I get it. Whatever. I understand. Yeah.
Hey, but also, I don't want to have every politician ever on, you know?
No, of course not.
I want to have normal conversations every once in a while. This is not normal. It's just...
Right. Please never think of me as a politician because that gives me the
Oh, no, I get feelings. It. I get it. But here's the deal is that it's inevitable.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you are a politician. I'm saying you're going to be...
We just need to change what it's called. You know,
well, it's like cheer. So you've already decided, you know, you can't,
no,
you may not change.
Totally different. That is totally different.
Bro, okay.
We
all
need
right.
to just start calling it like a public servant. And if someone's serving the public, then they're called a politician or something. I don't know.
Oh, okay. We're still here, man.
I don't want to
give still
you
here. No, we're still
not
here,
challenging
dude.
You to a duel or anything.
I'm not. Look, here's the thing, dude. I will talk about conspiracies all freaking day long, but I don't know a lot.
Like, well, yeah.
I'm a guy that knows a little bit about a lot of things.
Yeah.
That's what I like to say.
I like that. Yeah.
And I don't know a lot about
I really don't either. I'm just, you know. There's this.
I mean, like,
a lot out there.
There's some clear ones that we can talk about, like JFK was murdered by CIA. But like, I've done a podcast on that too.
Yeah,
I think that there's not something current that I can think of.
No, I can't either.
Like the Sussman trial, just kind of nixed that, and they're not going to be charged. So
yeah, but
the lawyer's not going
to
be charged.
What did we expect? I mean, he's got donors from Hillary's campaign,
right?
AOC's campaign. Two
so,
of them play soccer together. I'm
let's
like,
get
okay.
intense then, because we can talk about Uvalde if you want.
Ooh, okay.
And you know,
that's a hard one.
It's a hard one because it's law enforcement to me. But
I mean,
because there's just a lot of reports coming out, and they just keep coming out, and they keep changing their stories.
They
stuff
keep
like that.
Changing their story. That's what's, the issue with
what's
me.
Interesting to me. This is where I can't, like, you can't always say Abbott is just trash, I guess. because he said what he said, and he was like, thank you. It was him or the head of the DPS. No, I think it was him, actually, not the head of DPS. And he was like, thanks to law enforcement, more people didn't die. Okay, well, literally 2 days go by, and he comes back up, and he's like, I was standing right here when I said those things. I'm livid.
Oh, yeah,
because it's not true. He's like, no, they gave me the wrong, that was misled.
Yeah.
And he was pissed. And I'm like, oh, wow.
I listened to that.
His emotion changed.
I liked it.
And I'm like, wow.
I was like, yes.
So I'm like, okay, I get it. So that's, you can't always say, you know, it's wrong or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, any human being would probably have the same response to that, in my opinion. So, and it's good that he did. It's not like some, he's not trying to gain anything by that, you know?
That was probably the first time I heard Abbott and was like, yes.
Yeah, dude.
I liked that tone.
Because he was being, it seemed like an honest tone.
Right. He was being real.
He didn't get some crazy speech together. He came up and he's just like, dude.
It was good.
What the heck was this, man?
I'll tell you, the issue that I'm having, especially with Uvalde right now, and why I haven't publicly talked about it much, is because I'm getting my only source right now is Legacy Media, right? And I saw, I don't know if it was a Gateway Pundit or someone came out with like a timeline, and that makes no freaking sense to me. Like, do we still not know why the teacher propped open the door, didn't close it again, and all within minutes of each other? Like, there's some serious things that are not, I don't know if it's a false flag or what's going on, but listen, I believe in stuff like that. I do not trust the government one bit.
Correct.
And
I'm there for that.
The thing is, I need more info. I need more on the ground info.
Well, look, bare minimum, not even getting conspiratorial or whatever, bare minimum, it was definitely a failure of law enforcement. But aside from that,
hands down,
the questions of why, there's a lot of things there. You know, Border Patrol got there and they did wait around for a little bit.
Which, why?
And then
Border Patrol.
Yeah, okay, and then they were just like, what are you guys doing?
Right.
And then they apparently went against orders not to go in. And who was calling the shots? Uvalde Police Department, you know, head, right?
Yeah, and you know what's weird about Uvalde?
They have six policemen.
Is that it?
They have six policemen, dude.
So one gets shot, that's like 25% of
them. They only have six guys. You think the guy that leads this department is going to know crap about anything in a situation like that?
You know, there's some interesting connections with Uvalde and who runs the town.
Interesting.
And one of them owns a massive bank, actually.
Right.
There's just a lot of like weird things.
Well, that same department head of the police station is just got elected into city council.
Interesting.
Of Uvalde.
Okay.
But one thing I will say is I have some friends that are in Dallas PD and they were like, you know, any police officer, this is just normal training. This is actually kind of a universal thing. Mm-hmm. That's the only situation where you have no rules and you're told you have to instantly go in without backup.
So what were they doing?
Right. And that's the question. I think that, and they give an oath like specifically for kids. It's like, you will die for kids, essentially. So it's interesting. The only thing I can think of is that
they were completely bought and paid for, and getting their orders from somewhere higher, somewhere else. I mean, that would have to be it,
because it's so blatantly crazy. It's like an hour standing around.
But that is me.
They kept parents. Like, they tased a guy and they handcuffed a girl.
What the hell?
And the girl that they handcuffed and she got out, she drove 40 miles. She's not even. She has kids in the school, but she's a parent. But she drove 40 miles.
Wow.
So like, that's the amount of time they had. She drove 40 miles, got handcuffed, was able to get out of them, not like forcefully, but got out of them finally, and then ran in. So it was like that timeline too is like, wow.
There's just a lot that's not adding up. And
there will be a movie about it, first of all, for sure.
Yeah.
And to say this, because it goes without saying, it's a tragedy and it's like insane. But there's probably more to it.
Yes.
And I definitely think that there should be a investigation, you know?
Yeah, and an independent one at that.
Right. It said Justice Department is going to review the case.
Oh, fantastic.
Well, Justice Department just said that these lawyers aren't guilty for throwing Trump under the bus for Russia and causing this whole freaking Russiagate thing.
And
so,
did you hear that Biden wants to bulldoze the school?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He came out and said, I wish I could pull the article up. It basically said, I'm paraphrasing a lot.
No, you're good.
We need to bulldoze the school.
Wow.
Really?
I'll find the article and reference it in the podcast show notes. But that's,
please do.
That's insane. So, but, you know, another gaffe, I guess.
I don't know. You've got to really discern information these days.
Well, I think that people just want to respond. Because it's such a heartbreaking thing that they think they have to, like Biden, they think they have to say something as a solution.
Let's get the guns.
So it was everyone's guns, take them away.
Oh, yeah.
It was, I guess, bulldoze the school.
Oh, yeah.
None of these are really that logical when you think about it. There's a lot of other things, too, we could do that are more realistic as far as gun control goes.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
If you really wanted to.
Right.
You know, universal background checks, which honestly is like 80% or 70% approval on that kind of thing, you know, but whatever, dude. And I'm not necessarily going to say I'm for or against guns here. I'm for guns. Okay, I'll say it. I'm for guns.
Yeah.
But you know, it's
Here's the problem. Gun control is not going to stop gun violence.
No.
You know?
That, like, taking away guns, you mean?
Right.
It's not. Either way, right? Because you
just...
Nancy Pelosi's freaking husband just got a DUI, you know, and drinking and driving is illegal.
Right.
And he still did it. And you know, it's that kind of thing, you know?
We're just having all the wrong arguments everywhere.
Right.
And but we keep, like, feeding them. It's
right.
Like, you know, we just need more people that are just like, no, we
yes.
need to have a conversation about, yes, mental health. I agree. We do need to have a conversation
about
that.
Well, we do. The majority of gun violence is actually handguns, suicide.
Really?
It's not school shootings, for
well,
sure.
Well, no.
Well, there's a lot of them that happen now. So you might, you know, because of the media, you might think school shootings are everywhere. They're rampant.
It's interesting. There's a correlation between the increase in school shootings and also the increase of prescribing medication to our children. There's just, the list goes on
yeah,
and on.
Yeah,
you know?
That's a big one.
There's a huge.
And every therapist you talk to, okay, not every single one. I'm not going to talk for all therapists out there, but a lot of them will say immediately go towards medication. Prescribed medication, synthetic medication, not, you know, anything else, not any kind of other methods, because they're paid for, of course. They're reps in a way.
Oh, yeah.
Like therapists are almost pharmaceutical reps, you know?
The thing is you have to get into all the issues of breakdown of the nuclear family leading to...
Oh, dude! Oh, my coach would go ham on that.
Oh,
dude.
Really?
He says all this stuff. He literally will say, he's like...
It's the truth.
He's like, it all stems, and he'll just say it. The welfare queen is what he says.
Mm.
And he's like, I'm like, what the heck is that, man? And it was on one of our previous, I was like, what the heck are you talking about, dude? He's like, there's lack for lack of a better term, because it can get kind of like a lot of heat, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But he's like, it was when we created the welfare state, essentially.
There's
and the welfare queen was the girl that would not get married on purpose and have kids, because you get way more money from the government if you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, they said it wouldn't exist, and it existed almost immediately. And it was at that point, he's like, at that point, he's like, nuclear family's gone. And now, all these things.
I mean, there's,
I'm like, what?
There's
the heck?
Something
Are
to
you
that.
Because
you look at movies that came around that time that started happening.
Yeah.
Father's always an idiot, or father's always absent. It's always a single mother. You know, I mean, even today, TV, name me a TV show where the father is not portrayed as an idiot. And, you know, it's just like that. There is
Rick and Morty.
Oh, man.
That was a random one. Sorry. That's kind of out there.
I love some Rick and Morty, though.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny.
It is
but
funny.
Yeah, freaking the dad, dude.
Yeah, perfect example.
Oh, man. That's funny.
But, so you go through that. And
that's why Amber Heard makes me so excited, dude.
Why?
It's
why
like
that?
You don't have the dad that's an idiot. He's not, he's a dad, right? Johnny Depp has a kid. Yeah, he is a kid. But, you know, finally you're seeing, I think that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Because for decades, and I'm not going to say this is wrong necessarily, but women's empowerment has gotten to the extreme where it's, all the dads are stupid.
Absolutely it has.
And so I'm glad to see that. I'm like, finally, someone show this thing. They're in another level, but whatever.
It's just, we, as at least as Americans, we like the idea of strong men. We do. That's why freaking Tom Cruise's movie did so good, 156 million plus.
What, Top Gun?
Yeah.
The new one?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
Bro, I haven't either.
Okay, yeah. This week I'm probably going to.
Broke records. But it wasn't woke. It showed a strong American masculine man.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, it was hard hitting. I mean, it broke records when they've been trying to release movies throughout this whole pandemic, when we should all have been watching movies.
Right.
No, it was this one, because they just left the bullshit out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, boom, it's what we want. And it's in us as Americans, because America was not an accident.
Okay. Not even Americans, dude. That's like biology.
I don't know if I agree with that.
You don't? Not. I mean, I'm saying going back to like.
Oh yes.
Okay. Early times, not biology, it but was like what
man,
is
man defender?
You're talking provider. About exactly. Yeah, yeah, you're, yeah. This is it.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. It's in our blood, essentially.
Yeah, you're right. The gender roles.
Yeah, the gender roles are in our blood.
And
yeah,
feminine. Yeah,
exactly. Okay, and it doesn't. And it's not to like the problem is that people put a negative light on the feminine side. That's what I think.
Well, both
and
sides.
And so maybe both sides, but now you have, because you had women that wanted to be more masculine or wanted to have those roles or wanted to be empowered some way or another,
right.
they didn't see the value okay, in them, yeah. in themselves oh, and yes. their role or whatever you want to call it.
Totally
you know?
Understand, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, and then yeah. you have the single mom, and then you have this and that, and then you have the wife that wants to do these things but also go to work.
Right, right. And it, yes, and what's interesting now is I was watching an interview the other day, and they were interviewing young women, and they were just disgusted by the thought of having children, being pregnant, doing this, doing that. And do you know how new that is as far as society goes? Like that is a new thing. But they were going back and talking and looking at points in history where this has been a slow process to get, and not all women are like this, of course, but to get our females to this point now where we don't even want to have kids anymore. You know, I mean, there's just a lot to it. And I don't know enough to like get down to the nitty gritty details.
Yeah. But there are definitely some books out there though. I want to read them, but there's one that's by a psychologist, a girl, and she is literally like, this is the fall of the woman essentially.
Really?
And I'm like, whoa. And she like talks about the decades long freaking process that it's been, yeah. you know, and
well, what is a woman? Do we even know? So stupid, man. This is so dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, man. It is. I agree. Yeah, there's a lot of wild things going on, dude.
I know. We'll get there.
But I feel like, you know, running a district is probably a good first step. So you don't have to deal with all the
I don't know. Yes.
The crazy stuff necessarily.
I would just love to see it's exciting to me because I see so much opportunity in District 95 for everybody, you know? I mean, how great would it be to get in there and just turn District 95 into like a land of opportunity for
well,
our community?
Know. Yeah, I guess I don't, man, I gotta be honest, I don't know enough about it. Like, I don't know.
That's true.
So
we have a lot of historically impoverished areas, you know, we have vacant and also beautiful, like historic old building, just vacant. Like mm-hmm. East
oh,
Side,
I definitely
an
see
entire
that.
Business district just completely gone. No one wants to bring their business in because of crime, because of poverty, because of the schools. And it's like, to me, I see that as, oh my gosh, this is an opportunity, you know? And that's what gets me excited. And you know, I hope that I get there because we could do a lot with someone with that mindset in office, you know, representing this district.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think you just have to keep it. That's the big deal, right? It's almost like when you first start out being a cop or you first start out doing these things, they always talk about how you get made fun of because you walk in and you're like,
oh, yeah.
you know, I'm going to be
the best.
I'm going to change the way this thing runs. And they're all like, you'll see.
Oh,
you know,
it's true.
Just like the guy I just had on Luke. He was like, yeah, I was that way. And yes, you get made fun of. He's like, and 5 years later, I was out. So we see how that went, right? You
well,
know, he got out for different reasons, but yeah.
That's why it's so important to stay in your community, though.
Right.
You know, you can't live in Austin and in Dallas and then pretend like you represent
you
District 95, which is what's happening now.
That's why I moved downtown, though, specifically. Because if I have a podcast and I'm trying to get involved and I want to know people and I want people to come on and talk to me and just like talk about whatever, that meant being in society, not getting out of it.
Yes.
And so while I agree people were talking to me and like all the people I kind of hang out with are like, I'm moving out of the city. I'm getting freaking chickens. I'm getting, all this stuff. I'm running my own stuff. You know, I'm going to be self-sufficient. I'm like, dude, all that stuff sounds badass. And I would love to be the guy. I really would. At some point I might.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like for what I want to do, which is empower independent thinkers around me,
love it.
I got to be in the city. I got to be there. I got to be inside things that might be bad or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, well, I love that. You feel
so that's literally what you're doing. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Go us, man.
I guess.
Making some changes.
I'm doing a little bit behind the scenes, so I don't want to be the guy, you know?
Just as effective.
You could be on the magazine. I'm cool.
No, thank you. I'd rather not, actually.
Right, right.
It's, yeah.
So my brother lives in Seattle, and that's one of the things that I talk to him about a lot, because I've thought about, I'm not going to do this probably for a long time, but I've thought about like, man, if I was ever in a position where, you know, people wanted me to be a politician at any point or do something more, I guess, or run some organization.
Yeah.
It's probably Washington. I'd probably move to Washington.
Really? In the belly of the beast.
Exactly. Because yeah. Washington, dude, I love that place. Like, I lived there for 2.5 years or whatever, and yeah. like, it's amazing, man. The terrain is awesome. There's so much stuff to do.
You're talking about the state.
Washington State.
Okay.
He lives for a second, right outside of Seattle.
I thought you meant D.C.
No, no, no.
I was like, that's why I was like the belly of the beast. You're brave.
Well, Washington State is pretty bad. So, I mean, like, it's, you're at the belly of the beast, literally, yeah. yes. I yeah. thought you meant, like, because Washington is, like, almost worse than California, in my opinion, as far as some of the laws. Yeah.
Goodness.
It's insane. But, whatever. They still allow guns, so that's cool. Yeah. And, like, they still have pretty relaxed gun laws. And then, I guess the other thing is, like, they don't have any, like, sound ordinances on cars. The only reason I know this is I'm into cars, but whatever.
That's interesting.
California does. Anywho, I would choose Washington because my brother lives there, and it's yeah. like, it's like kind of close to me. Like, he has, I have nieces and nephews up there and stuff yeah. like that. So I'm like, you know, if I was going to try to change anything, it'd be that. Because seeing them like react to COVID and how they handled it was just like, man, I yeah. can't do this. And having someone that lives there, couldn't go to work and masks everywhere, and he didn't even he what's. I think what made me care about it more was that he just fell in line, and he, you know, yeah. he didn't care. He was like, you know. This is for our safety kind of thing, you know, just yeah. kind of went with it, you know, yeah. and maybe after a while, maybe he did, but he never really conveyed that to me. He was more like,
isn't it interesting?
We do this for this and this and this,
yeah.
and he doesn't really watch the news that much. So that's what struck me. It struck me because he is the guy that I would not expect
really
to follow that kind of stuff.
Mm. We saw that a lot, isn't it?
Cause it wasn't training. Yeah. He wasn't indoctrinated in any way. He was, you know,
I think that was that's a very good observation, because I think a lot of us, and it's interesting to see that there were kind of two sets of people, and you didn't yeah. really even know. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing to be one or the other, but there was
it just happened, and no one knew. Right. It was like overnight, and it was like, oh my gosh, all of a sudden.
And I mean,
it accelerated the polarization because of that.
It did
after we didn't realize what it happened. Yeah. It had happened, and then we're like, oh my gosh, you're on the other side. And it's yeah. like, whoa, you know?
I know. And I was the angry one running around Fort Worth maskless, like a heathen, and getting kicked out of places.
The first time we had a visual representation that was so obvious as far as what quote unquote side you're on.
That's an excellent point right? as well. Yeah.
Because no one knows if I'm for or against guns. No right. one knows if I'm for or against abortion. No one really knows those things. Unless right. they really want to talk to me, I'll tell them. When you meet somebody on the street, everyone's pretty cordial normally. Mm-hmm. Just normal. That's just how it works. Yeah, yeah. You know, it doesn't matter. That was the first time where we could see it.
Yeah.
And so immediately you already have this polarization.
Yeah. Walls go straight up.
Right.
And
it's not good, because I think it set a precedent.
Mm.
I think it set a precedent, and I don't think we're going to get away from it unless we really just like, we got to dig
in. It almost makes me wonder if that was not perhaps
planned,
the intention,
yeah, right,
you know, this right. psychological, because it is, they've literally have now said, we understand the masks are useless regardless, you
oh
know?
They've said that,
and they've been saying it a right. while,
yeah, yeah,
but now, like, when you're watching the press secretary say it, you know, on television in front of millions of people, and people are still falling in line for it, you know, again, you're right, this is America, you're allowed to choose now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. Yeah, for sure. Kind of lost my train of thought there.
Well, monkeypox, dude. Like, they're like, oh, Jesus. Let's do this again.
We're not doing it again. We're not.
Yeah, I don't think we will. Hopefully, I think Surely we got more people not. that won't, you know, so.
I mean, now, Grant, I should probably watch mainstream media a little bit more, so I'm more, you know, see what they're saying.
I agree with you. I watch CNN, I watch Fox on purpose.
I read some articles, but yeah. I probably should, because I don't know. Are people freaking out about monkeypox?
No.
Good.
The general public is not.
Fantastic.
But I'm not sure if they tried and failed, but there were a couple of days where it was like, let's talk about this, and it was headline type stuff. It kind of went away. So with Uvalde. So I don't know if they're going to try to bring this back around.
Yeah.
Or not.
Monkeypox, Jesus. I'm telling you, like, what is going to be next?
What I'll say is that COVID was real too, I guess, but monkeypox is real, yeah, but we don't know where.
Well, but you also, we don't know where it came from. Easily contracted, right? Last, I think it I can't remember what year it was, maybe 8 or 9, when there was a massive monkeypox outbreak. Mm-hmm. Nobody died, right? I mean, they've already...
What's more?
Up to you. Sure, I'll do just a little splash. Okay. You know, I've got to drive to Dallas tonight.
Really?
Yeah, so splash. For what?
Why do you go to Dallas?
So tomorrow I'm going to... It's not really a convention. It's an event, I guess. An event. Thank you. Like, perfect.
Nice little screen.
Thimble size.
Yeah.
And so I've got to go there tonight because here's the deal. It's at 8 a.m. and I know myself enough that I will sleep right through that alarm if I'm not staying right next door to that location. So, yeah.
Wow. That's like responsibility, I guess.
I'm telling you.
That's crazy.
It's all for the people, man.
It's all for the people. That's awesome.
But just on monkeypox, like, also, too, let me just say, why have we already changed the definitions and the diagnosis and the prognosis of monkeypox on government websites? It has been archived. It has been captured. That, to me, when I saw that, I was like, okay, we're not doing this, you know? Like, it's, yeah. No, not.
I mean, we're getting close to a midterm election, you know?
Think crazier things are going to happen?
I just think that they found something that worked.
Yeah.
And while, you know, I did believe that they might do lockdowns again, specifically when Philadelphia put their mask mandate back on and stuff like that recently. I think they may have taken it off again. I'm not sure. Before monkeypox, this was again COVID, right? Mm-hmm. And it was late in the game, and it was like no one else had had it, and everyone else had finally gotten rid of it. New York, California lift everything, and then Philadelphia's like, oh, we got to do it again. We have too many cases, you know?
And now Biden's trying to do it with planes.
Well, so I was expecting, I think they're going to try to push this lockdown thing again, but somehow blame it on whatever they can. Well, then monkeypox shows up. And I'm like, man, I guess this might be it. Their answer to it, you know?
Yeah, you
very
know.
Very possible.
It could be. I don't think.
That they try to push it. Not possible that it actually follows through, right?
Yeah. I mean, it will be interesting to see what happens from, you know, as we approach November.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, I don't think public will be worried about it. But what I think will happen is there will be some people worried about it, and I think that it will just further make the dividing line of states. Mm. And I think that's actually the goal. I don't think the goal is let's get everyone in line. Mm. They're not dumb.
Yeah,
people are. The establishment's not dumb. They don't. They know they probably can't sway a lot of people.
335 million people. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of us are like never, ever, ever, and we've drawn our line in the sand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Luckily, right?
Yeah.
But they know some people will.
You know, there's a good book about it. It's called The People's Republic. It's fiction. It's by Kurt Schlichter. And what's interesting is he wrote this a while ago. And it's basically the United States has split into two factions, the blue zone or in the red zone, or the people's, I don't know, something like that. It was either blue and red or people's and some other word. But
it's called The People's Republic?
Yeah, you should read it. And it's it talks about... It's this very interesting dystopian preview of what life would be like. And, you know, they're going back and they're rescuing people from the blue side and bringing them over to the red side. And it talks about the propaganda that you see on the blue side and some of the terms they're using. And I mean, it was
so it's like George Orwell type
it's
stuff.
It's kind of like a George Orwell. Yeah.
And fiction, but it's not.
Yeah. And it's funny. And the guy's funny. He's pretty active on Twitter. If you follow him, Kurt Schlichter. He's but it's interesting. I was reading it and I was like, well, I'll be like, this is happening like right now.
When did you write? Let's see. 2016.
Okay. So
looks like,
I mean, starting.
It was the starting line for what could happen. And I think people started to talk about how possible it is we could have another civil war and how possible it is we'll be totally divided. So it makes sense that he would write that.
Yeah. It's good though.
It fiction because, you know.
Yeah. And, you know,
don't want
prophecy.
It to be. You don't want to like.
I don't know.
I'm predicting the future and they'd be wrong. So fiction.
But yeah, it's pretty good. So I recommend that.
Nice. Cool. All right. Well, awesome.
Very good. I really enjoyed this. It was good.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I'll have to have you on again.
I hope so. Yeah.
For sure. Okay. It'll be fun.
Sounds good.
We can do it whenever you're closer to it or whatever. That's fine. I don't really care. It can be a marketing campaign for you if you want.
Hey. And then, you know, if after, by the very slim chance, very slim that I don't win, or bring me back on.
Very
we're just
slim
unleash.
Chance.
We're going to unleash. We're going to talk about every wild thing that we could possibly think of.
No, I'm down for that for sure. Heck yeah, man. All right. Cool.
All right. Awesome.
Toasty.